You know, there are 24 committees in the Senate, 16 standing, 4 joint, and 4 special and select. And they have sleek names like the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, Subcommittee on International Development and Foreign Assistance, Economic Affairs, and International Environmental Protection. Now you know why it takes a while to get things done in the Senate sometimes. You know who's on that last committee I just mentioned? Barack Obama. And he's on a slew of others, as is Hillary Clinton. 9 committees and 17 subcommittees between them. That's compared to only 3 committees for John McCain. Do we detect a little presidential resume building on the parts of the junior senators who have been in office just since 2004 and 2000 versus the Senate vet of 22 years? Well, our next guest has spent a lot of time in the Senate. A.B. Stoddard is an associate editor and the columnist for The Hill, a newspaper covering Congress, and she previously covered the Senate for ABC News. Hey, A.B., how are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. So Obama and Clinton on the surface, they kind of look like those kids who sign up for yearbook, Model UN, and Pep Squad in anticipation of their college applications.
It is. When you get there, you're scrambling to get on the best committees for your district or your state anyway. That's part of becoming a member of Congress. Obviously, for Senator Clinton, I think she had some plans. When she got there, she was quite humble and took what she could get, and she later got on to armed services. Obviously, they authorized the invasion of Iraq in late 02, and in 03 we were there, and she was putting her plans in motion. That was a very key committee for her to get in on. For Barack Obama in 04, he arrived at the Senate quite the star. His leadership knew he had a future, and they did their best to put him on a bunch of key places: Veterans Affairs, Health, Education and Labor, Foreign Relations, Homeland Security, and they gave him a subcommittee chairmanship on Foreign Relations as well. So everyone knew he had a resume to pad, and it's all part of the process.
Do they have to lobby to get these gigs on these committees?
Absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely. It is entirely up to the leadership when you get there. You can have good words put in for you by your previous senator, let's say, who retired. Maybe you're filling his seat. Forget it. It is entirely up to the leadership, because they're moving all these people around with all the varying interests and needs. Particular attention is paid, no one wants to hear this, to the political needs of vulnerable incumbents. If you've just won a very tight race and it's important that your party keeps you and you keep your seat next time, they're going to put you on a better committee assignment than someone who's in a safe seat, who won by a large margin.
We talked about the committees that Barack Obama's on. We'll talk a little more about Hillary Clinton's. Yet we have Senator McCain here, only on 3 committees, and only one with really household name recognition, Senate Armed Services. So why so few for McCain?
Well, Senator McCain has been in the Senate a very long time. He's on Senate Indian Affairs. He's a former chairman of that committee. Takes a long time to become a chairman. He is also the ranking member on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. He is a former chairman of that committee, been on it forever. He's the ranking member on Armed Services, been on it forever. He has more work to do on those committees because he's more senior. He's not just at the bottom of the list. He does the most of the lifting. And so he doesn't have the time to be on a million committees in name only and go to a couple of meetings. Being a chairman is a lot of work, and he is ranking member and on 2 of those now because the Democrats control the Senate, and he's former chairman of 2 of those. So that's why you see the difference in the number of assignments.
Time magazine reported that McCain took what Time called a backwater committee, Indian Affairs, and used it to launch the investigation into Jack Abramoff, the lobbyist who ended up, you know, being convicted of influence peddling, and et cetera. So what can voters learn about how candidates use their time on these committees?
Well, you can go to their websites and track closely what they're doing, but they're usually finding a way to make it useful to them, and they're letting you know. I mean, press releases are flying out of their offices back home to their constituents. The bills begin in committee, and they are drafted in committee. They only go to the floor of the House or Senate for approval, and sometimes they're changed a bit there, but they begin in committee. And so even if your plan was approved in committee and you know it's going to be discarded later, you're going to send a press release out that your program was approved by this official-sounding committee today, by this great vote, and members of Congress constantly use these committees to tout their accomplishments back home.
Another former presidential candidate, Chris Dodd, was someone who got a lot of mileage out of one of his committee assignments to the Banking Committee. Can you explain?
Yes. Senator Dodd did not join the Banking Committee those many, many years ago because he was going to run for president, but it turned out that he decided he would, and he benefited from the fact that he's chairman of the Senate Banking Committee and oversees the financial industry, and therefore many influential and powerful and wealthy interests gave to Senator Dodd's fledgling presidential candidacy. People knew it was a long shot. He was running against Clinton and Obama, but they gave to him anyway, and it really fueled his candidacy for quite a while. These positions, you can either, like I said, choose if you know you have presidential aspirations. There's only a few committees that you're going to have to get on, but also you can wake up one day and find yourself an expert, as Richard Lugar of Indiana did. He's former chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee and very, very respected expert in this country, and he ran for president on that. And Joe Biden, as you saw, ran for president on his foreign relations expertise this year, and you either begin in pursuit, finding an assignment that matches your aspirations, or you become an expert and you find that your expertise makes you a good candidate.
I know you have to watch committee hearings for a living, but do you think it is valuable for voters to check out this information about the candidates?
I do, because I think, hearings can be very dull and they're very hard. Experts come from industry and elsewhere, agencies of government, and come and give their testimony. Members of the Senate and the House have to stay for most of it. They file in and out to go to different meetings and go eat and go vote. But they're there for, they put in very long hours. And if you witness these, hearings can last up to 5 hours. Markups, which is when they actually change the bill and write the bill, can go, I've covered them from the morning into the night. It's tedious work, but you see how skilled and how knowledgeable.
So C-SPAN is what
Congress are.
C-SPAN is worth it late at night if you've got insomnia. A.B. Stoddard is an associate editor at The Columnist for The Hill. Thanks, A.B.
Thank you.
This is the BPP from NPR.